to the Talk Up Podcast. Find us on all your favorite podcast platforms or watch us on YouTube.
Hey!
We're back, baby.
How's it going, handyman?
Good. Pretty good.
I've been wanting to, like, nearly did it on the last video. I was nearly going to, like, grab the dude from Scary Movie and put the whole, like, take my strong hand.
Yeah, I've been copping that shit for years since I broke my shoulder.
Oh, true, 12 yeah.
12 years ago, so yeah, I've been. Used to call it the tater ache.
The tater ache.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Not my first broken bone anyway, that's for sure.
Nah, that's right. Actually, people probably don't know, but yeah, you had a bad stack.
Yeah, motorbikes.
Yep.
They do that when you fall off.
Yep. Pranged your arm pretty bad.
Yeah, bro, heaps of broken bones. I don't know. Go through the list, though. Broken radius 3 times, 5 times. Break the head off the humerus. Snap the clavicle, smash the scapula. Yeah, hurt a little bit.
It's a good way to learn. Good way to learn your anatomy.
Mm. Yep. Never broken a bone up until then. Oh, only a sternum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm, knock on wood, I haven't had a full break. I've had 2 fractures in my neck and 1 in my skull. That was a quad bike incident.
Fucking quads.
Quads, man.
No good.
They'll get you.
Yeah. No other damage that you know of? No brain damage, nothing?
Oh, look, there's probably something.
Yeah.
It's undiagnosed or self-diagnosed, whatever.
No. I mean, you are trying to street a solid roll of 383 that makes like 700 horsepower, so there's got to be some sort of brain damage there, doesn't
it? Yeah. And I thought I could do a full resto on a budget.
Yeah, properly. But anyway, unreal. Here we are.
That's it. Episode 7, Talk Hub Podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to try and guess the number. I fuck it up every time.
Quality.
Are we going to keep counting every time? I reckon we'll lose interest.
Yeah. It's just for my own interest, really.
Yeah.
So then we know if there's one that's worth celebrating. Like, once if we hit a century, 100.
Oh, yeah.
Big hundy.
I doubt it.
That's a long way away.
Yeah.
Long way away.
Yeah.
Anyway. New project, mate. Sitting behind us. The big wags.
Finally made it in.
Few
and far between, eh? I've realised. Like, what was the last? I mean, we did a bit of rooting around on this thing, but, it was a mix. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely hoping with this new gig I've got lined up, we'll get a bit more free time.
Try and
start pumping out a bit more work.
Yeah, lined up a new gig, and with the roster for those guys, hopefully we'll be able to match up a bit better, like we did before.
Possibly, yeah.
Mm, which would be nice. Yeah. So nothing's guaranteed, but...
Nothing in life's guaranteed, mate.
Nah. But bit of love for the long roof.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's just because we haven't put anything up for a while.
No, I think there's genuinely people that have turned about it.
And I've always been the opposite, eh? But I'm slowly coming around, eh? As you get older,
you get a bit more tolerant.
Oh, 100%. You change, eh? Everything changes as you get a little bit older.
I wonder, I think I heard in a biology lesson once that your taste buds change every 7 years or something like that. I think it's like your actual palate. Yeah, like your taste will change every 7 years. I wonder if it's the same for
if it's connected.
Everything. Yeah.
All right, we need to do a study. We need to crowdfund a study for this. It's got to be true, man, because I used to think some things were pretty cool before in my younger years.
Some of it's embarrassing, yeah.
A lot is.
But, I mean, that comes with fashion as well, doesn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I used to always hate... Like when the latest model car would come out, like, so you know, going back a little bit, I remember when the VEs sort of first come out, I was like, these things are poxy as. And then, like, I still remember it to this day. Like, one that I first thought it was okay, it was in like a Street Commodores magazine,
yeah.
And it was of just that red color that they come out in, and there was one sacked on 20. This was back when 22s was like
a big deal,
yeah. Sacked on like some, I can't remember, like XHP, like. 22s, and I was like, oh, that looks all right.
Mm. Yeah, because they got the big guards, so they suit the big wheels. I think they really needed the big wheels when they went to that guard style.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. But people are pretty pumped that we're putting a Holley on it, on the wagon.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, wait, so you're going to put coils on it? Or no, stock dizzy, stock coil. It's going to be an interesting mix. So.
Yeah, it should be good. Be a little bit of learning there. We might even be able to get Jerome come give us a hand, maybe, if he's freed up or whatever, because he's a bit of a wizard.
That would be good. With all
that stuff. So we'll see. We'll see how we go there. But if not, we'll stumble through it.
Yeah, that would be good. And a lot of commentary about the oiling setup for the turbo. Obviously, journal bearing turbo, and we're going to feed the oil from the engine back, and then
that's the idea at this point. Anyway, I did reply to someone today that I said, look, it's nothing's been purchased to say otherwise, but we did think about it doing the self-contained one. But
we did.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea, like, because what sort of pump are you going to run? It's not going to be anything too fancy. Like, we don't want to spend tons of money on something really fancy, which you probably don't need to, but running it off the engine oiling system, like, it's just, there's a lot more reliability there, I think, you know.
Yeah,
that's my sort of way of thinking anyway.
Well, that's how you do it with a normal turbo setup, right? You know, like, you use the engine oiling system. Just because this one's down the back doesn't make it that much different. I mean, my thought is, by not doing a self-contained oiling system, we don't have to fabricate a tank, find somewhere to put it.
Well, we got to fab a tank anyway. Like, a scav tank we'll have to fabricate anyway. So as far as actual work involved, I don't think it'd be much more, because you just have a scavenge tank. You know, the oil's got to go into it for the scav pump to push it back anyway. So you could, you know, you could have the pump off of that, putting it in, you know, just recirculating it.
But you probably want more volume, though.
Yeah, well, you just make a bigger tank, yeah. You're still going to have to make a tank either way.
Mm.
And you'd probably, I don't know, maybe would you want to put a cooler on it or something? I'm not sure how much heat. I'm guessing you get a fair bit.
Yeah. You could probably put, even, you know, with the engine and that, we could put a small cooler in line reasonably easily,
because
you can get fairly compact units. But
yeah, there's definitely options there.
Yeah, yeah. It's all still very napkin planned.
Yeah, at this point. And
until you get in there and you actually hold the parts and you start fabricating, you don't know what's going to fit where. And something that works perfectly in your head doesn't always work in real life.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where that tank's going to go and how it's all going to be configured. You just start at the priority, which will be like the turbo placement.
Yeah.
I'll put it to the most extreme that I can where it'll work, and then just basically make everything else around that. So
yeah.
Should be all right.
Yeah.
Should be good. I fucking haven't touched a TIG welder in quite a long time, so it'll be good to get back into it.
Get your eye in.
Yeah, so we're waiting on a heap of parts. We're definitely on the back foot as far as, like, we've let the first episode out, but until we get some more parts, I mean, we can do a few little bits and pieces, but, you know, done a order from Plasma Man the other day. They got some bends on the way and stuff like that. So, yeah, parts will slowly start rolling in.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. We're going to do a little drink review tonight. Something a bit different.
Yeah, okay.
Caden supplied us with some G-Up. Sort of runs off the back of the Your Troy Candy's illegitimate brother sort of joke.
Is it now the beard's gone? It can't really. Doesn't still stand.
It doesn't stand out as bad.
No.
Now that the beard's gone. Yeah. Because obviously, new job requires you to be clean shaven.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all good.
But I'll just bury in here. And we got some G up. We got one of each flavor, actually.
These have been a hot topic, haven't they?
They have. So, probably going to cop a bit of flack for it because, you know, lolly water and that, but we don't care. Shut up. Like I said, it sort of played into the joke of Troy Candy's brother, and when Caden just before he dropped the car off, he had already ordered these and got them delivered directly to us without us knowing, and then next minute we got three cartons of this stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, if you haven't heard of it, G-Up is a direct competitor to Vodka Cruiser, essentially. Low sugar with electrolytes in it. So I think the idea is you could have a couple of cutlies and wake up with less of a hangover. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I'm not buying it, but, you know.
Hey, if it markets it, it'll work.
That'd be all right.
It's probably like one of those BioFlow wristbands. If it makes you feel like it works, then it works.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got one of each flavor. This one is the first one, sugar-free cotton candy. Now, being sugar-free, I don't have high hopes for it, if I'm honest. But what do you reckon? First thoughts?
I don't like the smell.
Nah, window cleaner-ish?
No, I don't know.
Oh, have a swill. Oh, look, I feel healthier already. Sugar-free and
you're
electrolytes.
Selling it, you're doing a great job. I reckon you should get
a
job
on that. I
really don't care. Doing a great job.
I'm kind of trying to take the piss. Put that in my sweet little stubby holder, talkhub.com.au. You can get yourself one. Anyway, let's move on to other news.
This week's hot topic.
That's hot.
Hot topic.
What is it?
Rocky Nats.
I haven't seen anything. I didn't go. I don't want to see how awesome it is because I missed out.
I'm pretty upset that we didn't make it. We did want to go. We really did.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
No, okay. Not this year, man. It's just... Yeah. Next year, but we've got to sort of get geared up for the next thing that we're doing next year. So I reckon that one will be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
To go to.
Yeah, yeah. No, it'll be wicked. I love... the idea of Rocky Nats. Rocky Nats for me, obviously we did Red Center Nats last year and that was awesome. I had a great time. The road trip was arduous, but you know, for the most, the journey was great. Looking back on it now, it's one of those, like, you can romanticize these things later. So I had a great time on the road trip and the event itself. But for me, Rocky Nats, I think because it's not super focused around the burnouts. There's a lot of street cruising and then there's that street racing element that really appeals to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it looks like it'll be a good one.
Yeah.
It's just got its own flavour with those events and that, so.
That's right. And it's in Queensland. Never been to Queensland, so.
Ever?
I've never been, no.
Yeah, okay.
No. Been around some joints, but I've never been to Queensland. Actually, as luck would have it, work is flying me to Rockhampton for a course in 2 weeks. And I got the email to say that I was going on this course in Rockhampton the day before Rocky Nat started. And I was like, of course you would.
Mm, you know, that is pretty rough.
Couldn't bring it forward a bit, mate.
No.
Un-friggin' believable.
You didn't plan that too good. You could have gone over there and just hung out for a couple of weeks, you know?
Oh, yeah. That would have been nice.
Mrs. would have loved that.
So, shout out to any Rocky locals. If you got any really good recommendations for steak there, being the beef capital of the country, I believe Rockhampton is. So I want to try one of the most gangster steaks they got while I'm there. So yeah, hit us up. Anyway, back to Rocky Nats. Yeah, the street racing element, love that. The street cruise looks substantial. Much like Alice Springs.
Say, yeah.
That was, you know, pretty epic. And the caliber of cars that we saw coming through the social media feed, pretty, pretty cool. One that really did grab my attention was Luke Mitchell's Warwick Yellow HK GDS.
I didn't say it.
The reason that it caught my attention is 5 days before they left for Rocky Nats, that thing was a bare shell. Like, it had no front clip on it or anything. They just had a whole bunch of parts laid out on the floor and put it together in 5 days to get it ready to go for the Elite Pavilion unveil.
They would have looked like dog shit by the time they got to that show,
they
surely.
No
sleep will do that to
them. I was going to say, you would have felt like dog shit.
Yeah.
It would have been mental.
Yeah. That is a slog for damn sure.
Absolutely. But it turned out really, really nice. Do love a HK Monaro.
One of my favourites.
It's a classic shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never really used to be a KTG fiend, but as I'm getting older.
Yeah, the Ks are one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Yeah, between those and the Tiranas, the Doodle stuff, it's one of each.
Yeah. Rocky Nats grand champion this year.
It was the VL, wasn't it?
Yep, sickest.
Yeah, we've seen that at Alice Springs. It was very, very nice.
Yeah, that we are privileged to have seen that in Alice, and it is an epic, epic car. Billy Shelton's done an epic job on it.
Yeah.
It goes hard AF also, which is, you know, obviously a big thing for when you get to that elite level to go for Grand Champion. It's got to tick a lot of boxes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I believe it's the second time it's won Rocky Nats.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's won it before, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, it was good to see the show out there. But yeah, definitely an event that I would love to get to.
Yeah, how good would it be to have a car to win all three, Summer Nats, Rocky Nuts, and then bloody Alice Springs as well. That'd be...
Yeah, and motivation, I guess, because that's under the Summer Nats banner now.
Yeah, okay.
That'd something to think about.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot of travel. And then, I guess, would you want to win Motor-X as well, or is that a different caliber?
Yeah, that's probably different. A little bit. It's probably not a different caliber, but it's just it's on its
different
own.
Style of event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I haven't really paid too much attention to Motor-X because to me that's just like they are kind of like pedestal vehicles. You know, like you don't drive a lot of those, or you don't drive them like
before you go there.
Yeah. Well, like, you don't drive them like we would. You know what I mean? Like, no. So I feel like the ones at Summer Nats and Rocky Nats, and even though the elite vehicles there are definitely like head and shoulders above anything that I could ever obtain, I still feel like they're cars that you can drive. You know what
I
mean?
Well, I think a lot of people drive their stuff these days. Like, they all say they want to. So they go there, do the show circuit for a year or whatever.
Keep it clean.
And then have their fun with it, which is the way to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Also on the events side of things, Holden Nationals.
Yeah, when we started talking about Rocky Nuts and wanting to go, I was like, yeah, but I really want to go to Holden Nuts, and that's so close.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
Like, that'd be a tough one, tough decision.
Yeah, I haven't seen much social media coverage from Holden Nats yet. I'm sure there'll be more and more videos coming out over the next sort of days and whatever. Cause
I think it looked like it was the best one yet.
Yeah, I think so, Todd Foley said there was 50 more entrants than previous best or something, which is huge.
Yeah, that facility is that's had a huge amount of work in it in the last, I'm not sure how long it would be, 18 months maybe? Probably 18, or maybe even longer.
Yep.
Lance Warren, I think he bought it, didn't he? And has been doing it up. I think that's his name.
I think so, yeah.
But it's looking really good. He's done shitloads of work there. And yeah. So that would help a lot with people traveling to go and check it out.
Yeah. So invested a
lot. I'd almost want to go back just to check it out because we went back.
Yeah.
When it was probably, not at its worst, but yeah, definitely not at its best.
That's more what I wanted to talk about. Like I say, haven't seen much social media coverage from Holden Nats, but we went to the first one. When it was called the Holden Powered Nationals.
Yeah.
That was when it was really a celebration for the Aussie V8.
Yeah.
Which was what really appealed to us, obviously, at the time.
Yeah.
And I kind of just wanted to share the story of what was Holden Nats because it was a cool trip.
It was, man. It really was.
It was probably one of the best times I've had sort of, for events or travel or whatever.
Yeah.
It was...
It was an adventure, yeah.
I was going to say, it was definitely an adventure because, truth be told, you don't travel well.
No.
You're not a great traveler.
I'm not... Man, if I'm not at home and in this shed, I'm out of my element. Yeah. Like, I'm learning I'm only 35 at the end of the year and I'm just learning so much about myself. I'm a little bit anxious sometimes. I get a bit anxious.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah. So.
So, we flew from Perth to Melbourne and we rented a van.
I'm starting to laugh now just thinking about some of the shit we did.
The idea was, let's go over there, just get a hippie camper and like we'll just go to Kmart and get a cheap sleeping bag and a camping chair and we'll just...
Wing it,
yeah. Because the idea was...
That's not my style normally, eh?
No. We fly in, I had a mate that was living in Point Cook. We stayed there the night when we flew in and then we went out to Heathkit and we were just going to be there for the weekend for racing. Now... We picked up this van and we got fleeced on that straight up because the quote that we got online and what we paid were ridiculous.
Yeah, it was... Anyway, yeah.
It was funny though. And then we kind of, got stung the extra money for the sleep bags and the camping chairs and we were just like, well, that saves us going and buying one. So, whatever. We'll just do it. We kind of figured in for a penny, in for a pound at this point. going out to Heathkit, you bought one of probably your most treasured possessions.
Oh, yeah, the flanno. Because it's cold out that way, eh?
You'd never had a flanno before. And you're like, man, it's colder than I expected. And we went to the, was it the Anglican Church op shop in Heathkit?
Yeah.
And you found this flanno that fit like a glove.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it's been one of your
Take it off, eh?
Nah.
That was good. We were cruising around looking at all the poxy clothes they got, but we found that gem, eh?
Yeah.
You were like trying to get me to buy all sorts of weird shit. I'm like, man, I cannot fucking wear that.
I just wanted you to buy something warm. You were going to throw a jumper over the top of it anyway.
Yeah.
But then, you know, in the end, you're just rocking that flannel.
It's got a story, that thing, yeah. Absolutely. Still got it somewhere. I don't wear it anymore. I think it's got a bit tight. I've washed it that many times.
Putting on a couple of kilos.
Yeah, maybe.
For a Roo dog, surely not. So we get to Heathkit Park and it's probably something like I've never seen before. It was, if you were to describe an outlaw drag strip, that's probably exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
It was definitely run down at the time and it needed a lot of money spent, which obviously, thankfully, they've got the investment now. But man, there was something special about it, eh?
Yeah, it was wicked.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a good vibe. Todd puts on a good show, so...
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it was for the first one, man, like, it was really good.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what it's like being there now with all the caliber of cars they're starting to get there, and like, there's more classes and a lot more variety there as well, you know? Yeah, it's all Holden powered, but I mean, you can only... There's only seven of them blokes anyway, so...
You can't even get a full elimination field of them anymore. I think they do all right for them. But, yeah, we parked our... high top, high ace van there, and we just sort of camped out and tried to make friends with people and whatever while we're there, you know.
Yeah,
we
just wanted to be about everyone was super friendly and that. We met some people, met a few people there, friends that we still talk to, especially you. Like, I don't really talk to many of them anymore, but you still yarned to a few of them. Like,
yeah,
that's where we met Bobby V there.
Yeah,
and
Bob Velastro, Todd Foley, Jay Jeffries. You know, there's a lot of cool dudes over there.
Who else was Michael Marks with the with the sleeper SS.
Yep, he was cool. RVK355 Mondo, met him over there.
Yeah,
yeah, like some names that you'd seen on the forums over time or whatever.
Yeah, Cav was there, I think. Yeah,
so. Finally put faces to names and you know, just enjoyed racing. It was a test and tune on the Friday night. Holden Nationals was Saturday, and then there was meant to be another racing meet on the Sunday. Now, absolutely bucketed down with rain on Sunday night.
Late. So we were up pretty late drinking.
Yep. It's also Saturday night. So Sunday's racing was canned. And we didn't know what to do with ourselves. So.
And I had wet ass driving around because I left the window down.
And remember the towel outside.
And the towel that I needed. So I had a wet towel and a wet seat. That was poxy.
So we did a bit of touring around regional Victoria and that was super special. Obviously started off in Bendigo where we found...
Went to the laundromat, didn't we?
We went to the laundromat to put that wet towel in the dryer. We cooked,
did some washing.
Cooked some pancakes in the car park while we were waiting.
Yeah. Because we had that whole day to burn then, didn't we? And there's fuck all.
We had a couple of days to burn.
Oh, that's right. It was.
So,
that's right. It was a couple of days.
Yeah. So we went Bendigo to Ballarat, had lunch in Ballarat, and then we ended up spending the night in Warrnambool. Went to a caravan park there, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do the next day. And we ended up deciding on doing the Great Ocean Road
from start to finish. Didn't we decide that the day before? Like, that's why we sort of head that way, or...?
I think we were kind of 50-50 on it, and then we did some more research when we were in Warrnambool on the phone and went, yeah, right, we'll do it. It's only, you know, it looks like 300 Ks or whatever. I can't remember what it is, but...
Yeah.
We're thinking, oh, it'd be about 3.5 hours. Nah, we were wrong. It took way, way, way longer than we thought, but we're super glad that we did it.
Yeah, no, it was wicked, eh? It was good to do.
Yeah.
It would have been better if we had like a half decent car, not a fucking high, what was it, like a high ace van or something?
Man, she was
one of those wicked campers. Was it the wicked one?
No, it was hippie campers. It was called, yeah. But yeah, 3RZ boy. She was a 3RZ. Manny, big manual.
Yeah. Yeah, you were
caning
the ass out of it.
Was
too.
Not.
I'm like looking at the fuel gauge thinking, are we going to make it to the next servo? Is Jeff just hanging it off the chip.
I was turned up, boy.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that for anyone who's thinking about going to Old Nationals. Make an adventure out of it. There was some awesome, awesome, like, heritage townships and stuff on the way. And there's definitely some really cool
different
stuff.
It's a different kind of, like, you're hitting the little towns every bloody, you know, seems like every, like, you know, 50Ks or something like that. Like,
or less, way less. Less. Yeah. So that was the thing that we discussed when we were there. It was when you're traveling in WA, you leave one town and then you'll see like these parking bays on the side of the highway, like sort of rest stops, I guess. And they'll be sort of every 5 or 10 Ks because you leave one town and there's not enough, another one for maybe 30 odd Ks. I think there was probably a little township every 5 to 10 kilometres. And you could tell there was a town because there was a church and a Carlton Draft sign.
Yeah. Yeah, they love that shit over there.
But yeah, it was wicked. Honestly, if anyone is thinking about doing it, I would recommend it. The guys out there are awesome. And yeah, it was a really cool event.
Yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll definitely do it again one day for sure.
Yeah.
I reckon if we go again, we'll have to drag one of our cars there. Like, oof. That's really just got to be the thing.
Be cool to take the VH there. I would love, I'd love to ride my VH at Heathcote. That'd be cool.
Mm.
Having gone over there and watched Todd, so with his original VH when it had the 383 in it, before he was doing the turbo LS thing and the blown LS thing and, back when it was cool. He's cool again now because he's got a 355.
Another really nice car.
Absolutely. Shout out Todd. I think they went 10.3s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice work. Nice work. Anyway, I just thought I would
reminisce a little bit.
Yeah. Share a little story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot happened that weekend. Remember your shed got broken into and they stole all your stuff.
Yeah. So we were pretty much just about to start our trek on the Great Ocean Road and I get a phone call from my old duck and she's crying and telling me because I had a commercial shed that I was renting and it got broken into and... You know, all my tools and everything had gone. And I usually stored my ute there. But before we went over east, I grabbed the ute and I moved it home. And Mum's gone to the shed after being told that it's been broken into and my ute's gone. So she's trying to tell me that it's been stolen. And I'm like, it's at home, Mum. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, I was still pretty pissed about the rest of my stuff. I hadn't erected my hoist yet. And they stole my toolbox and my roll cab and everything. And all of the bolts for my fucking hoist were bagged and tagged in the fucking toolbox. That was the biggest pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's a dog move.
Because I had to go and measure fucking...
How inconsiderate are people when they steal your shit, hey? I've seen them bagged but fucking bolts with like hoist written on them. They thought, nah, fuck this gun. I'm going to throw them in the alleyway just to really, you know... I don't want him, but he's not having him either.
That was shit. So, yeah, I had to go measure, you know, thread sizes and pitches and this and that to try and figure out what bolts I needed to put this damn hoist together.
Yeah.
Man, that was horrid. That was the most annoying part.
Shit go of it.
Luckily, I was insured and all of my stuff got replaced, but it's not the point. Not the point at all. Anyhow, shall we move on?
Yes, let's.
Marketplace morons.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Thank you, Michael Caton. Marketplace morons. How'd you go?
I got nothing.
I've been seeing
there's
more
a lot
posts.
Of good stuff popping up.
Good stuff. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of sweet VHs that are like...
Oh, you dogged me.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone dogged me.
Like really. A real nice white one that was had rego and everything.
Yeah, it was prime. It was... You know, very, very clean VH.
Let's just know it was definitely full of bog and it would have been a piece of shit.
Yeah, it had to be. Had to be. Very, very clean. You know, split tub and billet wheels and 355 and all the cool stuff. It was built very, very high quality, similar to what I'm looking to do with mine. $75,000. Mm. Thanks for coming. And it's just like, broke my heart.
Yeah. It's tough.
To think that I could just buy one and drive it.
Yeah. You picked a rough time to do a resto, brother.
Oh, well. It was a beautiful, beautiful car.
So were yours, though. Yours will be.
When it's done. Mm. Yep. I've got to go and visit it, actually. I might do that tomorrow.
How's that coming along?
I haven't seen someone for a while. I've been flat out, man. Mm. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to some normality, eh? I just feel like I've been scattered.
Yeah.
Not working the last bloody 5 weeks. It's just I don't know what to do with myself.
School holidays kept you busy, though. Holy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another rough one.
I did see a couple of posts today, though, about the Holden 5 litres, how they've just gone dramatically batshit and price lately.
What, vehicles or engine, all parts?
Engines, yeah. So there was one dude that had an engine and trans for $4,500. And then the next day there was a different one, engine and trans, for $8,500.
Yeah, they put these prices on them. They don't get it, though, surely.
No, it's crazy.
The one that rings a bell, talking about morons, even though that's probably a bit of a rough delivery, but there was a fella trying to sell like the BorgWarner T56, and you remember he put like
$15,000 or something
on it or something.
Holy.
Oh, yeah, okay. Nah, probably not.
Well, we said to Caden, because this wagon's got a BorgWarner T56 in it, and it's got the clutch over hydraulic clutch setup, that which
funky setup,
yeah. Which is correct for a GDS, you know. So if you had,
well, they all had that though,
yeah.
Because I think at that point they didn't have a hydraulic pedal box for that vehicle. It wasn't until the Series 3's come out, yeah.
So if you had, you know, one of those vehicles that needed one of those gearboxes, well, they'd be pretty thin on the ground.
Mm. Oh, you'd go to a convert Melwood, it. Yeah. You'd go to a Melwood setup and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's ways around it.
But yeah, $15,000. I was like, holy, no, that's a bit rough.
Yeah.
One that it's not really a full marketplace moron, but VH bumper rubbers. Now, they don't reproduce them, and finding a good one is very hard to find. So this dude's put one up and it's got scratches and crap all over it. And he's, you know, gone VH bumper rubber, rare, clean, but few scratches. And then the photos makes it just look like dog shit, and he's like $300, and everyone's starting to pay out, and I'm like, man, just throw it in the bin.
Yeah,
people are going to buy a bumper rubber are buying a good one.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, they're rare, they don't reproduce them, rare spares don't do them, blah blah blah. It's like, yeah, they're rare to find a good one.
Yeah,
that ain't it. You ain't it, bruh.
Yeah, them interest rates are flying up though, bro. If you can just free up some cash, you know.
Interest rates, well, they stopped on the last update. The Reserve Bank held them steady.
But, still hurting.
Oh, must yeah.
Be. Must yeah. be. I wonder how that fella's going that's renting out his front yard. Whole street's renting out their front yard now.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is tough. And like you say, I couldn't have picked a worse time to do a resto because the cost of living has just gone berserk. So my whatever little sort of cushion I had at the end of the fortnight when my next pay comes in, it's all but gone.
Mm. Yeah. But once it comes back and it's looking shiny and nice, you'll be like, it was worth it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll cover that when it comes back. Anyway, Marketplace Morons was a quick one this time around.
Yeah, we didn't really do our research there, but that's all right.
Got no money to spend, so we ain't shopping. Actually, well, we're spending other people's money now. Caden needs us to buy parts so we can sort of live vicariously.
Yeah, yeah.
We get to place the order.
And
there's
still heaps more to come through as well. I've still got to order heaps more shit, actually.
We get the little dopamine rush of actually placing the order and making the purchase.
Yeah, but then we've got to make it work and fit, and that's when it's like, nah. Yeah, back to fucking, ah.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who's getting the better end of the deal. Alrighty. Let's move on. Actually, let's go to the next flavor of
these. That's why I got rid of that one. What did you think?
This sugar-free cotton candy, not my favorite. I could see, yeah.
Look, it's not the worst in the world.
No. I've tasted far worse ready-to-drink vodka mixes that taste horrendous. This one's not too bad, but I don't know. Anything sugar-free just tastes funky, hey?
Pretty much.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cotton candy flavor, though, it is cotton candy.
You reckon?
It's reasonably close. As close as it can be for something that's not cotton candy, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah, look, it's not great, but it's not bad either. Especially when you didn't pay for them.
True. True.
So yeah, thanks, Caden. Thanks for the three cartons. The free three cartons.
That's right. Well, is it free? We're paying for it.
No, we'll get him. We'll get him somewhere.
We're going to get him. All right, next flavor, grape. What do you reckon?
Look at me sniffing it like some sort of fucking wine connoisseur.
Give it a swirl.
Smells like purple. Got that purple drink.
Sugar, water, purple.
Right, this one's got electrolytes. Well, they all got that.
Yeah, this one's got sugar in it, though. So the other one had 28 calories per 100 mils. This has got 46 calories per 100 mil. 4.3 grams of sugar.
Who counts the calories when they're drinking alcohol? Like,
I'm sure there's someone. You're poisoning
your body, bro.
Look, I don't know if you've noticed, Kurt, but this is what peak male performance looks like.
Well, I do. I do understand that. Yeah. And that doesn't just get there by itself doing nothing, does it?
No, and this is all paid for. There's no finance on this rig.
That's better.
Yeah. Agreed. As far as... It's got like a bit of...
Do you reckon it's got like a purple Hubba Bubba?
I was just about to say, yeah. It's almost like a bit of a fruit tingly Hubba Bubba type of taste.
How poxy was Hubba Bubba, though? You chew the cunt for 5 seconds and then it's just like rubber, eh? You get like five good chews out of it and then you're like... Yep, spit this out.
But when you're a young fella, an old lady bought you one of them big rolls of Hubba Bubba at the checkout.
Yeah, the big straps.
Man, you were the boy. You were just like, and if your brother didn't get one, you were like.
I don't know if I ever.
If he got one of those poxy flute lollipops and you had the roll of Hubba Bubba, you're like, I won on this deal.
Yeah.
Until he started playing a mad tune, you're like, oh, I'll give you a bit. Can I have a go?
I forgot about them bloody lollipops, actually.
They were the bomb.
I'm glad they're not out anymore.
Oh, could you imagine?
My kids could fucking annoy the shit out of me if they made.
A drive back from the shops Mm-mm. with one of them just nah. Like, wee,
wee, wee, wee. No way. Mm-mm.
Nah, not for you. If you got any awesome sort of throwback candies, let us know. I do love reminiscing on childhood.
You just forget. Childhood. Yeah. You just forget.
Yeah.
I've got the worst memory, but fuck, I can't. Oh, man.
That's where social media is great. Someone will post a photo from way back, you know, like I'm talking back when you're in primary school, and it'll just spark a memory.
How funny is it when you see, like, the photos or, like, the memes, and it's like, yeah, you know, you're an 80s kid or a 90s kid when it's like this and this and that. Yeah. You're like, fuck, that's right.
Yeah, I am old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel old yet, but.
And then there's probably people watching this going, 80s kid, old.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
All right. Next segment.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Do we need to get like a something else on the rev limiter than a LS later on down the track?
Probably, yeah.
That's one of my least favorite sounding things on the chip, eh?
But it is on the chip.
It is, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sure, we'll put yours on the chip sooner or later.
Yeah, one day.
That'd be cool, actually. We could, like, make an audio recording of you banging on the two-step. Off the trans... Oh, you don't have a trans brake.
I can get one.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You're going to have to at this point. On the chip, powered by Reed Speed.
Yes. Our boy.
That's right. If you need any accessory drive products, do hit up our good friends at Reed Speed, proud sponsor of the Talk Up podcast.
That's it. Reedspeed.com.au.
Well done. Got anything that's got you on the chip, bud?
Nothing out of the ordinary. No. I get on the chip pretty easy too, don't I?
You do, yeah. But you have been sitting in your own little bubble for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
In your zen space.
No. No, yeah. I've just been trying to waltzer, get back to fighting fit.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Well, I got a little something.
You're going to say something and then it's going to get me going. Yeah. Like, yeah, actually. Do you know what? We're painting a picture of me being a real fuckhead, eh?
You do a great job of it.
I know.
Yeah. So, I got a little something I'm going to get off my chest. And it kind of sparked me with these frigging G-Up delivery that we got. Australia Post. I want to get after Australia Post. And I feel like I can really dig deep with my opinion here because my old boy was an Australia Post employee for many, 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 many years. You pay these dudes good money And dudettes. Got to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't they there? They hold it down. Solid.
We are very, you know, tolerant of the LG HD TV community.
Yeah.
We pay to have that product picked up from where you bought it from and delivered to your house or to your business or wherever the hell you wanted it delivered. You tell them where you want it and they've got to drop it off there. Now, I waited all day at home when we got the extra set of microphones, waited at home all day. Knowing that you get the text message in the morning saying, yeah, your package is coming today. Yeah. Yep, sweet. And I knew that on the stupid friggin' app that they got, it says signature required. You know, if you're not home, you know, you'll have to come get it. Waited around all day. Kids finished school. I've got to duck down the road, pick them up, come back. And I live really close to the school. So
super close.
Very close.
Like, if you're an offender, you're not going to live where you live.
Nah, probably
not. That's how close you live.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, I wrote a note and I put it on the door. I was comfortable enough to write a note, put it on the door and say, gone to do the school pickup. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Please do not leave. Oh, sorry. Please leave the package, please. I put that
please.
On there.
Three pleases.
Yeah, with a smiley face. I put a fucking smiley face on that.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
Go get the kids. Come back, belting back. What do I see?
I was going to say, you seen the bloke in the Oz Post fan? He's like, bud, fuck you, Eddie.
Not, yeah, he was gone.
Oh, you didn't see him?
Blue slip on the door.
Oh, yeah.
Gone. I was like...
You know what that is, don't you? That's Murphy's Law.
So, the worst part is, I got the notification saying, your parcel's been delivered. And I'm like... And so, I'm driving back. And I get the thing, you know, look on my smartwatch and it's saying, yeah, your parcel's been delivered. I'm like, sweet. What a legend. Get home, blue slip on the door. I was like, surely not. And the app even had the photo. You know how they send you a photo of where they left it and whatever?
No, I've never seen
that.
There
was the box sitting there on my front mat. But then he's changed his mind and gone, oh, nah, he's not here.
So did you initially think someone had stolen it?
No, because the blue slip was there and it said, like, you got to come collect it. Now, that in itself is like, whatever.
That is such a weird thing to do. You got the photo and everything and then he's gone, nah, fuck this guy.
He's like, hang on. He must have just realized then, hang on, nah, this needs a signature. Mm. And
he wouldn't have even seen your letter, bro.
Well, he couldn't have missed it. No way. No, it was the little note on my front door was next to the blue slip.
Maybe if you did four smiley faces.
So... here's the thing. Where they take the friggin' parcel is all the way in the industrial area in town, right? Which for us...
That's where they sort it all, eh? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, the Star Trek one is over there. Every now and again, we've got a local post office that's not far from us, and that would be okay. I could duck down to the local post office and pick up a parcel, but this one was through Star Trek. So, they ended up taking it all the way over to the light industrial area, which is about... what, 25 minutes, half hour?
20 to 25, I reckon.
22 and a half. Let's split the middle.
Yeah, there's a bit of traffic on the road.
Yeah. Got to stop by the servo. Yeah. So, about 25 minutes in, then you got to wait around for old love, go and dig your friggin' box out, whatever. Well,
don't forget your ID, motherfucker.
Oh, and because I don't carry a wallet. 9 times out of 10, I ain't got no money to spend. My car's got all my money. Yeah. So, I have done that. I've got all the way in there with no ID. And luckily my wife was home. She took a photo of my license front and back and I had it on my phone. That was all good. But, So, I've got no reason to go there. 9 times out of 10, it's very rare that I've got any reason to be anywhere there. That is a waste of like an hour of my day. To pick up something that I've paid to have delivered.
Mm. It's pretty rough.
That gets my goat.
You just got super unlucky, eh?
Yep.
Murphy's Law kicked you square in the ball sack that day.
Yep. So, I did have that. That was a couple of weeks ago, obviously. But the feelings resurfaced when these three boxes of this stuff rolled in. And I didn't know it was even coming, right? And the missus... oh, you got a parcel. Do you want me to go get it for you? Yeah, no worries. That'd be great. Thanks. Then she sends me a message going, what the fuck? There's three boxes and they're heavy. What's even in here? I'm like, I got no idea. I couldn't even, I was thinking, I'm like, what the fuck have I bought? No, I haven't bought anything. But yeah, so I get home and there's three boxes of these vodka things.
Lolly waters.
Yeah. Same thing. Poor Caden, he's paid for that to be delivered. And then we've had to go pick it up. That got my goat.
Mm.
Very annoying. Now,
Oz Postal get you on the chip every time.
You look at somewhere like the US. Now, the US is obviously a whole different beast to Australia, but they have so many courier networks.
I don't think anyone pays for fucking shipping over there, do they?
It sounds like
everyone. I mean, someone's paying, but it ain't the people.
Unless they're talking like overnight shipping, and overnight shipping from there is overnight shipping in a lot of instances. Here, express shipping still takes like a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I've ordered shit weeks ago, even for this, and it's still not here.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We probably couldn't pick a worse place in the country to live than sort of like country Western Australia to...
True, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's... Yeah. WA itself is very disconnected from the rest of the country, and then being outside the metropolitan area...
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're not in Perth.
Where else is there in WA? There's only Perth, right?
It'll get there when it get there, and it's going to cost you an extra $50.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And you'll have to go to the depot and pick the fucking thing up.
Yep.
Anyway, that was my little rant. So I'm sure some of you guys, especially if you live in a rural area, you probably get the same deal. You can't buy anything locally because you don't have the same resources as the people in the big smoke. So you buy something and you pay good money to get it to your house, and then you got to then spend the same amount as postage in fuel to go and pick it up. It's a pisser.
It literally, I reckon, like, mucking around with cars would just be a nearly completely different experience if we had like a summit racing down the road. Or even like being in Perth and you're like close to like, say, like Loss Racing or one of the other shops.
Chris,
you know,
Mills
what I mean?
Or
Chris
something.
Mills, like you can just duck in and they've got it there. Like literally everything we do is either like through email, through one of our vendors that we like to use, or it's fucking eBay or online, like everything.
I like to spend money locally where I can, but which is, once again, really hard when you don't have anything local. And even then, we're like 2 hours from Perth. So it's like, I'd rather spend my money in Perth than in Sydney because you want to support local. But if you've got to buy it online and have it posted, it's no difference whether you buy it from Perth or Sydney, you know? So at that point, then you start shopping for price.
Mm.
And then, because you're inconvenienced by having to wait for it anyway. I'm happy to pay an extra 10% or 15% to walk in, talk to the guy, hold it in my hand and walk away with it, knowing that if I have a problem with it, then I can take it back to that guy and say, hey, man, remember me? And he's like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah.
You look like a dweeb. But help me out anyway, because he's a nice guy and he's got good customer service.
Yeah.
That's
what's
worth
the extra money. I mean, that's what you're paying for.
Yeah. But, yeah, we just don't have a solid network of things. And I've been noticing more and more as years go on, people don't hold things in stock anymore. Mm. They advertise all these products and then you want to buy one and then it's on back order. Yeah. And then they've then got to order.
We've been stitched up with... Not stitched up, but that's sort of what happened with the... turbine housing and all that sort of stuff for this. So,
So yeah, they've
you
got
order it and it says, oh, like what? There was some sort of, you know, period. Oh, yeah, it'll be between here and here. Pay for it. And then you get an email.
Yeah.
Like the next day. Oh, yeah, that's not in stock. It's going to take, what was the email?
21 to 46 days.
Fuck off.
When I saw that, I took a screenshot.
46 days? You just fucking, what?
I took a screenshot, circled it, and sent it to you. I was like, are you for real? We're not going to be able to start building this turbo kit for nearly 2 months.
That's a convenient excuse right there.
But
what sort of a guideline is that, though, eh?
Yeah. So then they did say...
but it still hasn't come.
Yeah. But it has been dispatched, and it will be here in much shorter than 46 days. Thank goodness.
And the housing isn't going to slow us up, really, anyway.
No. We do have a housing that we can use to get started, which is handy.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, everything's online now, dude. Oh, it really is.
Yep. And, look, I'm for it. I think the online space is great
in
that there can be more mum and dad investors because they don't have to have a brick and mortar
store. Well, that's just where it's going.
With a shop front. But there's also times where you need some advice, right? And now this happened when we were painting your roof and you were going and buying painting supplies, right? And when you were painting the engine bay as well, so way back. You walk into a store and you go, hey, look, I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm a total noob. These are the things that I believe I need. Can you recommend anything better? And then the bloke's basically like, look, I can give you what you want, but if you want anything else, then you're just going to have to research it. At that point, you walk straight back out the door and you go find someone else.
Yeah.
When you're shopping online, you kind of need to know what you want.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas if you go into a brick and mortar store, you pay, once again, you pay that extra 10 or 15%, but you're going to pay for that dude's time, knowledge, advice, after sales service,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah.
Now, you can still get that from online stores because they still have an email address. Some of them will have a phone number, but that is rare nowadays.
Yeah. If you're shopping, what you're getting at is if you're shopping by price, the guys that are like the cheapest, they're usually the ones like running it out of like a smaller, like out of their garage or maybe whatever. Like they don't have the overheads, so they can sell it at the absolute cheapest price. But if you pay like an extra 10 or 15 or 50 bucks, you get it off like, say, one of the shops that is a brick and mortar shop already, but they have an online element as well. Because obviously that's the trend and that's where you've got to be if you want to make the sort of the sales quantity that you need to move the product. So
that's right.
They're not the cheapest, but you know, like say someone like Golby's or friggin', I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to say, not sponsored. We're not sponsored by any of these people, but shout out to Outlaw Speed Shop, RCE Performance, Golby's. These are three shops that we've dealt with in the past, whether it be for Talk Hub stuff or our own stuff or whatever. And you know, fast response, fast shipping, good price, you know, obviously these are people that we knew what we wanted. We purchased, we searched a part number, specific part number, and purchased what we needed, and we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
Which is good. But yeah, I don't know. The space is
good. Changing. Advice is worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely. Yep. And anyone that's willing to give it to you just for purchasing something, that person, you know, they've got a lot of integrity, I believe.
Oh, look, man, it's not hard. It's not hard to fucking give someone good advice, really, is it?
Well, it is if you don't have the good advice to give, and that's the dangerous part. There's a lot of people that do have stores in any profession, not just automotive, that don't know what they're doing, but they can sell the gear.
Mm.
That's the thing.
That's not even the worst. It's the guys that have the wicked looking online stores, and then your shit doesn't even rock up, and then you get all the excuses. I know of at least one of those that someone's bought stuff off of and been stitched up there for a little while. They got their money back eventually, but what a root around.
Yeah, right. Don't want to tell that story?
No.
No. Righto. Fair enough. That went down a rabbit hole, didn't it? Started off with just having to go and pick up some microphones. We ended up talking about customer service. Yeah. Well done.
Good on you, champ.
Good on you, champion. Shall we move on to the final drink, actually?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Finish this off. We'll find off.
That one's a lot better.
I agree. This was much nicer than the cotton candy. I don't know if it's just because it's got sugar in it.
Look, man, I don't think you're really doing yourself any favours with that sugar-free stuff anyway, because they got to put something in there.
Exactly. What are they replacing the sugar with? That's the thing. These definitely both have like a Powerade vibe, you know? Mouthfeel.
Is it the electrolytes?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously,
this is not something I'm realising. This isn't something you could just, personally just drink all night, I don't think.
No.
Unless I had like a handful of them really quick and then you don't give a fuck what you're putting down your gullet at that point. You know when you get like that?
Yeah. I think this is one of those things where if it's a hot summer's day, you're out in the sun, you know what I mean? And you just need something that you can slam down and keep cool and, you know, like a beach party type of deal.
Yeah.
But even then, I think I'd rather just drink a beer.
Yeah, so I'd just have a rum of some description, probably.
Yeah, you are a big rumbo fan. Actually, I do love a good spice rum.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of that. Anyway, we got one more drink to try. Here we are. Red. Red raspberry.
This will be my favourite. Red's the goey.
Red, it's going to make you go faster.
Yep.
Nice. Let's crack the lid on. Ooh, that had a satisfying little... Yours did too. Well done. This has given me Red Frog vibes straight off the smell.
Or, you know, it's like not those, as smell. It's not as smelly as a purple one.
Those like those red licorice, something like that.
Oh yeah, the raspberry. Yeah, licorice.
Doesn't taste like the raspberry licorice though. That's probably more Red Frog.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's probably my favourite.
Yeah.
Out of the three. And I mean, everyone started on a Red Vodka Cruiser, didn't they?
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
No.
No?
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels. Old boy just hooked you up, eh?
No, I'll tell you. So I got, when I was an apprentice, I got dropped off one day by one of the tradesmen.
Oh, so you're a late bloomer.
Well, I started my apprenticeship when I was 15, so.
Yeah.
Not really.
Mm.
I definitely wasn't of drinking age. And I got dropped off. We pulled into the bottle shop on the way home and got a, I think it was a can. Might have been, he bought me a can of Jack Daniels and Coke or Cola, and that started my drinking career right there. That was back when you could buy a carton of Jack Daniels for like, it was about 65, 70 bucks.
I do remember that.
So that's, and then literally, I remember like probably the next weekend, we were all sitting around like, what are we going to do? Like, we used to ride BMX and shit like that. I'm like, oh, fuck, we'll just buy a carton, eh? And then that's it. The next few years, that's just what we did every weekend. Yeah.
We ain't riding bikes. We ain't building jumps. We ain't doing none of that. We just going to
not
drink.
As much anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely
good
is.
Good old house party days, mate. I've heard, from what I hear, because obviously I'm not in the know now, but house parties aren't as much of a thing anymore, apparently.
Really?
Apparently. Well, I don't know.
It's funny. You see a lot of... like nightclubs and stuff shutting down everywhere. So I would have thought that that meant that the house party scene would have been kicking off. But at the same time, I guess more and more people are just living online. Particularly go back to the lockdown era, people were having house parties via Zoom, you know. I wonder if that's really created a hard disconnect, because you got like a 2-year period of people who would be emerging into that age that now just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's like a hard disconnect there.
That's bullshit.
It is.
I'm not about that.
Nah, neither. Because how good were house parties and bush doofs?
Do you remember Clark Street parties? I was talking about that at work today. Someone was like, this new place I'm at, and he was like, yeah, this fella that I'm...
This is when we're in sort of high school age or 17, 18, 19. In Bunbury in the southwest, there is or was an infamous street, Clark Street. And there was...
Open house parties.
It's a long street, you know, and there's a bunch of houses there. And it was basically, I reckon, all the teenagers in the street just egged each other on to be like, right, it's your turn this weekend. Bang.
Yeah.
Clark Street was jumping, boy.
Yeah.
It was popping
good
off.
Good fun.
Yeah.
I'd go back, man. I'd go back for sure.
Who was it? It was Casey Woodward had a Sandman panel band.
Dude, that is the most random thing. I was thinking of that today and it was yellow.
Yes. And that would bust a sweet single pegger down Clark Street.
I wish I was smart enough to get a Sandman van back then. The old VR over here.
Yeah. There was a couple of token dudes that just had really cool cars, you know, like, because obviously not everyone had a V8 back then.
No one had panel vans like that. Like, nah. This is like a HJXZ.
Yep.
Sandman.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know, one of them.
Yeah. And if it wasn't a genuine one, who cares? We wouldn't have known and we wouldn't have cared any different.
Been. It would have served us purpose just right.
The old shagging wagon, yeah. What good did times. Someone from work, he watched the wagon video and he called it. He called the wagon something awesome. And now I can't remember. It'll come to me. But yeah, they were good times. Oh, that's what it was. The low cut fuck truck.
Fuck, man, that'll work.
Yeah, yeah. The wagon, he goes, fuck, I don't mind that low cut fuck truck. I was just like, the what?
The who be what now?
Excusez-moi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting pretty keen to get into it, actually.
Yeah.
Hopefully get some Parts roll up soon.
I'm actually surprised how turnt you're getting for it, because not to make you sound like...
Look, man, don't... we've already painted a picture of me being a fuckwit. Paint the picture of me being a complete and utter fuckwit.
Yeah.
Because that's different.
Not to be too bleak, but sometimes it can get a little bit difficult to get you G'd up for things.
Yeah.
This one, you're all about it.
It's probably because it's been a while.
It has been a while, yeah. Getting turnt. Alrighty. Lucky last.
Hello.
Blow a wine. This is the segment where we get to your voice messages. Now, if you'd like to send us a voice message, you can jump on our website, talkhub.com.au. There will be a red button on the right-hand side. Doesn't matter whether it's phone, tablet, computer, whatever. If you've got a microphone, you can send us a message. I think it's up to 3 minutes long. I don't know. Yeah. 3 minutes is probably long enough to get your point across.
And if not, just click it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do that. Or, you know, if you can't work that out, you can probably send us a voicemail on the socials.
That's pretty easy, though. Website's easy as shit.
The website.
And a few of the boys, a few of our mates have keep threatening that they're going to call in and talk about some things, but they haven't yet. So, boys.
So, I made an Instagram story saying, in the lead up to this, saying that we were getting ready to record a podcast, and if you wanted to send us a voicemail. And people were sending me a message saying, well, what do we say? There's no rules. It doesn't matter what. You can ring up. You can ask us a question. You can just share us a cool story, like spin an awesome yarn.
Whatever.
Say something.
Look, we're not going to make you look like a fuckwit because this show's about making me look like a fuckwit.
Yeah.
No, sorry, exposing my fuckwit.
Yeah, that's right. You know, talk about your build. Just say g'day. Give us some feedback. Whatever. We don't mind. So
anything.
You're more than welcome. Get on.
Please do it.
Yeah. We do enjoy it. We do enjoy hearing from you guys, and we get messages from you guys when you've bought merch and we send it out. We love getting the photos back to say that you've received it and how pumped you are on it. So thanks to the guys this week. Actually, I sent out 2 orders this week, a couple of orders, which was nice. Yep. Actually,
what do you reckon? Do we need to get another shirt, Jeff?
We do. And we've been saying that
we're probably over. Yeah, but like, should we actually do it? I want to do a white shirt just because of all the black shirt jokes.
Yeah, true. I was even thinking like a grey or a khaki, because white, we got young kids.
It's hard. But heaps of other people don't.
True.
And we don't care. Smart. Like, we can fucking... We can just get another one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're our shirts.
Actually, there was 3 orders, because one of them, it was actually somewhere local. So, I dropped it off on the way to work.
Sneaky
obviously,
bastard.
I go to work pretty early in the morning, and I knew it was a business address. And I knew they probably weren't going to be there. Or I was hoping that they would, but the gate was locked. So I managed to get it as close to the front door as possible. And I hope you got it.
Did you throw it?
Yeah. Like, the fence wasn't too far from the front door, and it was a hoodie. So it's not like it's going to fucking break.
I was going to say, you're reckless.
I gave it a sweet little, just a lob frisbee over the fence, and it landed just in front of the door.
You would have made a good paper boy back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I say, my old boy worked for Oz Post for like 11... So he left the Postal Service. Here's the story. So... He was with the Postal Service when I was first born in Meriden in the Wheat Belt in Western Australia. Back before they had a CT110, he was on a fucking push bike.
What?
Yes. He had the little red sort of wireframe push bike.
Do they get paid extra for that?
Probably not, because he was young, so they didn't care. He was just a whipping boy at that point. And then he sort of, you know, did sorting room and this and that and everything else. And then he left AusPost in, I want to say... I think it was about 1994, 1995, something like that.
Fuck, you throwing it back, boy.
Yeah, man. And then he jumped back on the Oz Post gig, I think, in 2013, 2014.
So his experience, he's a bit of a
Yeah. And, you know, he jumped on the bike and he loved it, man. Loved jumping on the bike and just going for a blat. Yeah. But he's essentially retired now, and well-deserved too, by the way. I would have made a good postboy.
I don't rule it out yet,
hey,
mate.
I didn't leave him a fucking blue slip and make him go pick it up from my house.
Yeah, if you seen a smiley face, you'd be like, yeah, all right. I'll break the rules for you.
All right, anyway, let's get stuck in.
Hey, boys, Scotty up in Darwin. Just getting ready to go to friggin' Rocky Nats with the brother in Fishy VS. He's in the drags. Got the new merch hats, so we'll be repping Talk Hub up there. Because my old one's getting a bit grubby. I had to laugh at your last podcast too, how many black shirts you got. And that's pretty much any car show, any car meet, is black shirts, hats, beards. Just element. But I'd like to know previous cars you guys have owned or stuff like that. So older cars you grew up with, your family had. And yeah, cheers. Keep going.
Scotty!
Legend.
Yeah. Yeah, we met Scotty at the Red Centre Nationals. One of few people that sort of came up and had a good yarn with us and hung out while we watched the skids and that.
Yeah,
good dude. Good.
Yeah,
good
dude. He's awesome.
Yeah. Going to Rocky Nats. Well, been to Rocky Nats
been
at this
Rocky
point.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
I think this one come through the next day after our last podcast.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think it was literally the day after we recorded our last one. Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, hope you had a great time in Rocky, Scott.
He would have.
Yeah.
The bastard.
And hope your little Falcon's going all right too. What a legend, taking the merch with him.
Yeah, representing.
Yeah. Cars we grew up with. This is actually, we thought about this as a podcast topic for a future episode when we were talking about, remember we were talking about as a kid, like single car families and stuff, and at what point was it normal to become a two-car family?
Yeah, I don't know, eh?
It's weird. But I think that's probably why I love my VH, because we had a VC when I was a kid. We had a olive green VC and 202. No, was it all 202 or 173? I can't remember. It was a piece of shit anyway. And I loved it. I fucking frothed it because the old boy had let me drive that down the driveway. And we had like a quarter acre block. And if you did a little dog leg, you'd kind of get between the veranda and the shed and get out into the backyard. So that'd be my excuse. It'd be parked out the front 9 times out of 10, sort of on the verge. And I'd, you know, hit that up if you needed a car wash or whatever. Yeah, all right, you know. So I'd grab the keys and drive it out the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sneaky dog.
Yeah. And that was, we got rid of that because, you know, she was a thirsty girl, the old Carby six cylinder. And, well, by standards at that time. And then one of the fuel misers of the day was a Camry. So we got a Camry wagon after that, which had a hole in the muffler and sounded like a fucking WRX. But
I'm
that was
think of that,
that was horrendous.
Camry,
eh? Hey?
Is that the Camry that had the real sort of fucking oval headlights like that? The Camry, the classic old piece of shit Camry shape?
Yeah. Yep.
They,
yeah.
They pretty
bang
much
on.
Every single one of the kinds come out in that shitty pale blue colour.
No, well, ours was Ferrari Racing Red, which obviously faded and peeled pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it had those rubber roller roof racks. That was all right. We got rid of that in the end, and then we got a VT Bellina, which was a six banger, but it had leather and a sunroof, and I was probably 13 or 14 at the time, and I thought, you know, that was pretty plush, because that was a fairly recent car at the time, and, you know, I came from pretty modest roots, I'd say. My parents certainly didn't have any money with me growing up. I didn't go without anything, but at the same time, I reckon my parents went without a lot to make sure that me and my brother had whatever we needed.
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty flash. And then as we got a bit older, my old boy sort of started having a midlife crisis. It was about the time that I was shopping for my first car. So the first car that I ever bought was an S13 Silvia. I bought that at the same time as my old boy bought an MA70 Supra. So we were all JDM boys.
I didn't realise you bought had an S13.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I had an S13. It was a CA18.
That's the only way to be, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really wanted an SR20 at the time, but I just couldn't afford it. Ended up doing a head gasket on that and selling it before I got my licence. I bought a VR Bellina. That was like the first car that I had when I got my license. And I had mates that got their license before me. So, and either they couldn't afford fuel for their car, or they didn't have a car yet. So I'd sort of volunteer my car. And, you know, mum, oh, hey, mum and dad, like, we're going out and old mate's going to drive and rah, rah, whatever. And we get to the end of the street and I'll be like, righto, out you get.
Yeah.
This is my car.
Yeah.
We go cruising. And the day before I got my license, there's a notorious joint near here, a little bit further north from where we live, and it's just a pin straight road out to this sort of beach town. And that was like land speed record shit for us. So we just like, we had a little Pulsar one of my mates had, and if we could crack like 160 in that bad boy, we were like, yeah! We'd be sitting there with like a can of Woodstock in the back in the middle of the night, and 6x9s would be distorting like fucking the parcel shelf, and you'd just be like, come on, let's go, see how fast this thing goes. So we did it in my car. I think we hit just on 200 in the Bellina, and it was a Buick V6. Got off the noise because we're coming up towards the end of the street. And with those things, once you're doing that kind of speed and you get off the pedal, like, I don't know, oil pressure, well, fuel went away, leaned out, oil pressure deleted itself, rod through the fucking sump, the whole. What? Yep.
Those motors are indestructible, no, dude.
So I went wide open for a long, long time, got, like, just snapped the throttle shut, and then it's just leaned out, pinged hard, detonated itself, dead.
Fuck, that's gone. Weird, man.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It probably had like a slight knock at the time, or, you know, during the run or whatever, and we just didn't give a fuck or couldn't hear it or both.
Yeah, trying to run it on like water or something.
Well, it was probably 91 or something. Who knows?
Mm.
But yeah, so that was the day before I got my license. We cracked the block and everything. And I put a deposit down at Audiocom for a stereo, and it was going to be fitted the following week. It was like Saabs and you know, like the Pioneer head, you know, I can't remember the model number, but it had like the animation dolphin thing that went.
Yeah, that was like the 80, what was it,
8650 or something.
Yeah. 8650, because yeah. I've got like a 9650, the next one up, that had the dual colors. I've got that in there.
Ooh, yeah, you fancy boy.
I didn't fuck around.
See, boy. I did that, yellow cones and all the stuff. And then I had to go like hat in hand, crying to the bloke, you know, I needed my $1,000 deposit back because I had to buy a new engine. So I got my license.
You got unlucky, man.
So I got my license the day after we blew it up. And after wanting my license for my entire life, I then didn't have a car to drive the day that I got my license. And mum was basically like, stiff shit, champ. Yeah. Catching the bus.
Yeah.
So yeah, got a new engine. 2 weeks later, I was on the road.
I had a similar story with my VR. This was my, wasn't my first car I bought, but it was the first car I got on my license. And the very first day I got my license and knocked off work, fucking made it like 500 meters down the road and the oil pressure light's coming on. Because it sat around for a little while at that point. The pickup in the sump just like clogged up with sludge and shit from obviously the lack of maintenance or sitting or whatever. So I had to fucking, back then I didn't do my own shit. So pay to get the sump like dropped and get all the pickup and like all the sump cleaned out and get all the pickup and shit all cleaned. So actually had some oil pressure. So that was my first day of my license. I won't forget it.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I think maybe we should probably cap this discussion, and we could probably unravel this pretty heavy. What do you reckon?
On another one?
Yeah. I reckon this could probably... Thanks for the suggestion, Scott. I reckon we can probably turn this into an entire episode where we talk about sort of first cars and cars growing up and what it was like sort of from our beginnings to now.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Probably a cool little chat for
it'd
people.
It'd be cool to actually, if anyone wants to ring up and leave a message telling us what their first car was or any first car stories, and we'll do a bit of a
I want to hear some funny theme. Yeah, some that. Funny first car stories.
So, Scotty, why don't you ring us up, leave us another message on your first car or something along those lines, and we'll get a bit of a group discussion going.
Yeah, sick. Yeah, because I reckon we could be here for ages talking about this.
Mm-hmm. Let's get through them. What's the next one? Thanks, Scotty, for that one.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys? This is Alex from UFO Sorcery Engineering. First thing first, I'm just watching your last episode with the SLX wagon. It's pretty nice, actually. A very nice project online, so very, very good to see that you go a little bit further regarding your project. Regarding mine, we got some several issues. The G45 that we use, the GT45 that we use, decided to blowing up. Got some very nice feedback from people around there, curious and stuff like that. But unfortunately, cannot running anymore for the moment. But I just received a new turbo G55 2250 94mm Pro mode. Was also planning to come in Australia for next year if everything is all right. So we should be able to do something together, and it would be awesome. Wish you a very nice evening, day, whatever, weekend, whatever you want. Cheers, mates, and be the first to be with you. Cheers.
Alex, legend.
He's a legend for
long,
sure.
Long-time fans will probably remember when we used to, well, we did a couple of Instagram lives, and here's our little mate from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
As you know, you can probably tell by his accent, he ain't from around here.
Mm.
Yeah, all the way from the Netherlands, very loyal supporter, so thanks for calling in, man.
He's got a pretty cool project, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah, he does. R32 Skyline, Barra-powered, I think it's the only one in Europe, but yeah.
And he's putting a 94mm ProMod Garrett turbo on it. What a mad...
Wowzers. Yeah. I mean, it had a G...
Was it G45 or GDX45?
No, I think it was a GT45-94.
That's an old turbo, eh?
Yeah, I'm going by terrible memory at this point, but I think it was a GT4594, and they were shooting for like, you know, 1100 plus horsepower with this thing. It's obviously used a lot of Australian parts. I think Empire Performance support the build pretty heavily, and yeah, it's a pretty sick little whip, and look forward to seeing what it does with this new turbo. Holy, a G55 94mm. Yeah. That's barely getting it.
Yeah. I'm assuming you'd want some gas on that at that point, I would assume.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on nitrous versus compressed air? Because some people use just compressed air.
For what?
Oh, no, sorry. They use compressed air for boost control. They don't use it
for... actuation. Yeah. Nitrous is really good on boosted stuff because, like, when you pill it for, like, say, like a 50 shot or whatever with boost from tuners and stuff I've listened to, it actually ends up being, like, more than that again. Like, you might be, like, 75 to the wheel or something, like, depending on how efficient your combo is. So,
look, I doubt that engine's going to need an extra 75 horsepower from a nitrous.
No, but it will wake it up. It'll give it that extra punch it needs to get it off the ground. So. Yeah.
I reckon once that
thing... I'm assuming anyway. Yeah. I mean, I own a turbo Barra, so I can't even imagine what a 94mm turbo...
Yeah.
You would have to...
You'd think a tuning strategy for that would be as soon as it gets to like 10 pounds of boost, you cut the nitrous and then it should hopefully carry itself from there.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It needs, but yeah. I'm not actually sure what transmission he's running in that. I wonder if he's got like dump valves and stuff
like that. Oh, like converter dumps?
Yeah. You'd probably want all that. That's all hotness these days, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got to go back through some of his Instagram videos. I do watch some of them, but obviously I don't have time to watch absolutely everything. And some of them aren't in English, which, you know, that presents a barrier.
Mm.
But a lot of his stuff is in English.
Very cool, though, nonetheless.
So if you guys want to check out that 1,000-plus horsepower R32, Barra-powered R32, UFO Sorcery Engineering, our good friend from the Netherlands.
Yeah. Check it out.
Thanks for calling in, bud. Yeah. And appreciate your love for the wagon.
And also, before we chop it off, it will be really good if we can catch up with him next year.
Oh, yeah.
If and when he arrives, that'll be definitely good to do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Australia is a big place, and if he's going to Sydney, then we're a long way from there.
You never know what's happening, though. We might be heading over.
We might be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would be cool if we did. We got friends in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
We could go hang. Go, Hank.
Hey, boys, it's Newts here. Genuinely curious about your unbiased opinion about the burnouts. I know you guys are right into the drag racing scene, but burnouts is particularly up and coming, being a large thing. You know, I listen to your stuff all the time. Be interested to hear a little bit more on what you guys think about the burnouts again. And moving forward, you guys going to do some more videos and stuff like that on the...
Newts, he's a G, hey. I don't know the bloke real well. I've said to know him from his social media presence and caught up with him briefly at Motivation, but he is a character.
I like that new build he's doing. Like, they're punching through that pretty good.
That's right, yeah. That looks sick. I think I've seen it posted on a few Instagram pages, so I don't mind sharing. I guess it's VZ, blown, LS, tubbed. Looks pretty fat. Definitely not really what you and I would pay to have, but would love.
Yeah, I like to play with. Look, like the boys have all, from what I can gather, like the boys have all sort of done it themselves. It hasn't been like shipped off to a shop or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And like even the colour you picked is like a dark green or whatever. Like it's just a different colour. Like it's really good, I reckon.
Yeah, nah, they do get stuck in. Yeah. I just love getting around people on the socials where they just absolutely hook in and you see them just make progress, bang, bang, bang. Obviously, they're very good at planning out the build. They've got the parts on hand, ready to go, and then they just hit it. Mm. And it's just like, it's very satisfying when you can organize something like that. Obviously, it can be difficult when you've got to fabricate things. With a late model Commodore and an LS, you can buy a lot of this stuff and just bolt it on. It's in stock, ready to go, which would be so nice.
Yeah, it'd be a fun car. That car will be fun, and I picture maybe the ute that we've got trying to, you know, more of a carefree, have a bit more fun with it. It'd be cool if we get it to look a little bit better because it looks like shit at the moment, but
I think that's going to be that'll be half the appeal, I reckon. If we can get it to make some good power, leave it looking like a bunkie and just start slapping people with it.
But getting to the question, I guess, the burnouts.
Look, we haven't...
It depends who it is, honestly. Yeah. Like, they are definitely entertaining.
So, we haven't kept any secret from the very, very start that we're not really burnout dudes.
Or we're just not crazy about it.
But
I've gone and watched, like, Good Friday burnouts before and fucking gone all the way to Narrogin and all that sort of stuff.
I think after the last time we were asked... what style of burnouts we prefer, and we sort of went through the discussion of burnouts as a motorsport. I've been thinking about it a little bit more and more, and it's not that we don't like burnouts, obviously. We like burnouts. I think for me, I don't particularly like burnout competitions, and it's not that on the surface sounds pretty bad. It's not that I don't like burnout competitions either. I just think after a while, they start to look the same. And that's when I start to lose interest. It's just all noise. You lose the car in the smoke, and then you can't see it for another minute or whatever. We've got heaps of mates that have got sick burnout cars. Yeah. And I'll support them till the end of the earth. I don't even want to start listing them because I'd forget someone and I'd feel horrible. Because there's heaps of people that sort of do it, and they've got pro-level burnout cars. All over the country, they compete, and man, I'll root for them to the end of the earth. I'd be there. I'd watch every skid. If they busted a lifter, I'd be there all night replacing it for them. You know, like that's I'm ride or die. If you're one of my homies, you're one of my homies, and I'm there. I love it. But I think it's undeniable that as a sport, it's evolving very quickly. You know, like it's always been like pretty cool, but as now I guess Cletus has given it that international exposure and all that sort of stuff.
That hasn't changed anything over here though.
No, it hasn't changed it here, but it's definitely brought more attention to it. And you know, like because it's bringing more attention, that can then bring more sponsors, which can then bring more money. Mm. You know, GUP obviously advertised the $100,000 burnout, which flopped. You know, it didn't end up being a $100,000 prize. But, you know, to have that sort of thing happening, it's wild, man.
You know what I do like about burnouts? And it's kind of, it translates to sort of one of the other sports that I really like to watch, which is like supercross and motocross and that, is with burnouts, you can't just go and it's not something that, you need to throw a lot of money at something. If you want to like win competitions, like you need a fairly decent car to do it. But you still need to be able to drive and you still need to have a car that handles well. So you need to be able to know how to set up a car to get it to handle. If it's an old car especially, like we've heard of, you know, like Mick and stuff like that having a few dramas with his old car. Like, it's not something you can just fucking throw a heap of money at and then just mop up with everything, you know. So there's definitely a skill there, I think.
You can definitely
to know what the crowd wants, and also it's a bit of showmanship as well, you know. And there's definitely a few elements there that are cool, and it's a bit of a, it's kind of like drifting in a way because it's a judged sport.
Exactly. I was just about to say that it is a judged event, so it's got a lot of different sort of elements to it. You can grab a bunkie, like a cheap car, and leave it stock and weld the diff, and you can have a bunch of fun, but there's only so far that you can go with that until you've got to spend a bit of money. And then if you want to go to pro level, then you got to spend a bit more money and whatever. And then I think there comes a point where branding really does become a thing. You know, like within that circle, you've then got to brand yourself well to have the support to continue to operate at that level, because for most mere mortals who live on a salary or wages or whatever, it's an unsustainable thing. You've really got to have a high level of support to do well.
Yeah, it just depends on how many shows you want to do really as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that also comes down to branding yourself. You know, like you got to, I guess, take the hit to start with to be like, right, I'm going to do this, and this show. Once again, for most people, there's some people that can afford to do it.
I think the LS engine's has been a great thing for the...
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can, you know, they're such a fantastic engine that you can throw boost on them and put them on methanol, and you don't, you know, you don't need that $35,000, you know, long motor to make good power or whatever. You can sort of make enough power to put on a good show.
But I am enjoying seeing more of the... small block Chev and big block Chev and big block Ford and stuff that's mixing it up as well.
Yeah.
Because
some of that, it's almost the point now where I don't mind like some of like the Atmos six cylinder class. Like some of those guys do a really good job. Most of it's dog shit, but to me personally, but it's, you know, the top guys are what make it. You know, I watched a couple of burnouts with a family at Motivation, and there was some clear standouts, you know. So
yeah.
It reminded me actually. I hadn't watched any for a long time, and I still do enjoy watching the really good ones, you know. You're like, he was definitely on it, you know.
Some of the most enjoyable things for me were, I've been invited to some private pad testing sort of sessions, or whatever, and you sort of go out there and, I don't know, you're just that little bit closer to it, you know what I mean? Like, you're not just standing behind the fence in the grandstand, and that, to me, is far more enjoyable than an event itself.
Have you been, you haven't been in a car, doing like a decent car, doing a skid in a competition? Because I haven't.
I haven't been in a pro level.
We'd probably understand it a little bit more, like, here we are getting asked, we haven't even actually been in a pro level car on the pad, so.
We went in wide open, the VE Clubby at Gazanats.
Yeah, around
on
the
track.
Yep.
Yeah, we did power skids and stuff like that, but I haven't been on the pad in a pro-level burnout car.
Yeah, because I think that's probably one of the major things that have evolved in the sport over the last, you know, good number of years, is just the quality of the actual car itself.
Developing the program.
Even that, just the fucking car itself.
That's
They're
what I mean.
Not pieces of shit anymore. Like, some of these cars... a fucking really nice cars, which is like, for me, sometimes it's a bit of a shame, like, to see them just getting belts slapped on them. But like, that's the appeal, really, I guess. Like, that's the wow factor that you're getting.
Yeah.
So, You know, like if you get like Newts, he's got a Commodore, man. He's going to be forever just putting new back bumpers on that fucking thing. You know, they're going to be melted off and getting smashed off.
I think he was doing that anyway.
Yeah, yeah, of course he was. But that's, you know, there's some devotion there for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that adds to that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if we answered the question or not, but
yeah,
I'm for it, man. Really.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm all for it as long as it brings money to the facilities and it puts bums on seats and it continues to grow motorsport as a whole. Then have at it, man, and keep going.
Yeah. They're definitely getting better. That's for sure. Yeah. I think it's mainly in the quality of car.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm certainly not against doing burnout stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's only so many fucking cammed LS as you can watch just hang off that same dun.
That's what
LS computer chip.
Yeah.
Like you know, that rev limiter that they make or even the V6 ones are even worse.
Yeah.
So you can that sort of
I think that's what I was getting sometimes. At. You know, that's what I was saying when I was like, oh, I don't really like the burnout competitions because they start to all sound the same. They all start to look the same. And it's just like, yep, right. There's three cars way back there in the staging lanes that I want to watch. So
you've got to endure the other stuff.
Yeah. And that's where it becomes a bit drawn out for me. And it's fine because I just go for a walk through the pits or whatever, you know, because there's maybe it's an event like Motivation. So there's a lot of cars there that aren't doing burnouts that are still in the pits. And I'll go sort of watch that. And if there's someone that I know that's keen to watch it, they'll send me a message when, you know, whoever's coming up and I'll go back.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, yeah, I would far sooner be sitting watching drag racing for, say, 3 hours straight than I would burnouts.
Yeah. The events are where it's at, where you're sort of around the track and then you do the skids at night and stuff like that. So the same cars can get out and still smash tires and have great time.
Yeah.
That's sort of the best of both worlds, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like your power cruisers and, I mean, even your motivations and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, if only we had more events here in WA. That'd be cool. Right. Review on the Raspberry G-Up Vodka. This was by far my favourite flavour.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah, that wins.
Definitely did get the Red Frog vibe, like I did from the smell, straight up. Good amount of sweetness, sort of a tart sort of flavour to it. Did enjoy that. I could see myself
snorkeling a box of those. Jeff loves a snork, if you didn't know, eh?
I just love to party, man.
We should fucking build a burnout car then, if you like to party.
Well, I kind of want to party in a Aspo VH SLE on its back bumper.
Yeah, but you're not going to be blowing 8,000 up. No. Is that a party?
On the back bumper.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to run a 950. Just
loosen it right up, you reckon?
Yeah. I want to run a 950 onto a 1.860 foot on the back tyre. That'd be sick. Right. We have one more call and then we can
round it out.
Maybe round this out.
Yeah, it's probably dragging on a bit.
I can feel it right down into my plums.
You know what? I saw that come through and Michael probably thought I wasn't going to play it. Guess what, Michael? We played it. Suck it. For those of you who don't know what he's referring to, it's a bit of a skit from Will Farrell out of Eastbound and Down. And I've actually got the original coming out here, so I'll show you the sample.
I can feel it down in my plums. They're getting a nice bluish hue. Getting ready to take them to the farmer's market. Special two plums for one.
So now, that's from the road trip, isn't it?
We punished that on the trip to the Red Center.
Yeah.
Every time. And you can hear us say it in the videos a couple of times.
Yeah.
Feel it.
It's just one of those things. Is that fucking boring driving across that joint?
Got to keep yourself.
You know, you just grab onto something. You know, when you're at a workplace or a road trip or something, you grab onto something and everyone laughs, and then that's it. You just beat it like the dead horse that it is. Yeah. Eh?
I've got to admit, it was pretty funny.
Oh, and yeah, man. I love that. Eh? It was yeah.
For every sort of, if you go to a Bucks party, if you go on a boys trip or whatever, there's always that one thing that just spreads like wildfire throughout the group, and it sticks. It sticks like shit to a blanket, and you ain't getting rid of it.
Yeah.
So for every hour of every day, it was like, man, I'm feeling hungry. I can feel it in my plums. You know, like, yeah. Or it's, man, it's hot out here. I can feel it in my plums.
Yeah.
You know, it was just flat, Bicky, and we would lose it laughing every time, and it didn't get old. So I kind of want to hear some stories from the rest of you. If there was like a boys trip or whatever where something caught on like wildfire that was just that funny.
Yeah, it's usually something like a movie.
And it's one of those things, when you tell the story, it's never that funny to everyone else.
If you weren't there.
I don't care. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all Mick's got to add to it at this point. He wants to jump on the potty, actually. We'll get him on.
Yeah. Yeah, we should get him on the podcast. He could be a guest at one point.
Yeah. We should probably do a guest soon, because people are getting sick of us just dribbling shit. Yeah, I feel like this episode was a bit of a dribble, but, you know, they always are, aren't they?
Well, that's kind of what a podcast is, isn't it? Some of them we more value than others. And obviously, if we get out to more events and if we film more videos, then we can add more value.
Yeah, I reckon I've got probably nearly a handful of guys that I reckon we wouldn't mind getting on.
Mm. Yeah, I've certainly got a hit list of people that I wouldn't mind bringing on as a guest.
Mm.
And if you guys have got any suggestions, or if you got any contacts or whatever that you think would be suitable, let us know. For the most part, I don't think we're really looking to do the whole Zoom OBS sort of thing. I think we want to do it in person. So to start with, it'd probably be Perth locals. And if we do travel, then yeah, we could look at seeing some people abroad. But I've seen, I don't know, the whole online podcast thing. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Looking at the live stream, I got to work that out. But there's to make it work properly, there's some, like, we probably need to upgrade some camera equipment to start with. But yeah, I think a live podcast would be cool on YouTube, and then we could then post the recording on Spotify after. But yeah, I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. In person's the goey. Fuck Zoom or any of that shit.
Well, the problem is, it's
just weird, man. Like, you hear, like, people got to do job interviews and shit on Zoom. Fuck that. I don't want to do that.
Man, we talk over the top of each other far too much at the best of times. Can you imagine when you don't have that, like, facial thing because there's a slight delay from the webcam order? It'd be horrendous.
Yeah, no. Not for me, man.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, Mick, we'll get you on the podcast at some point.
You're going to have to say more than what you feel in your plums, though.
Yeah, yeah. You can start telling us how you feel about the XYGT Owners Club. That'd be a good rant.
Yeah.
That'd be good on the chip subject.
How are you going to put Holly AFI on your XY now, because you're an old man?
Yeah, that would be cool, though. I'd love to put some AFI on that bad boy. The blow-through carby thing's cool, and it was good to get it off the ground. It was sort of easy and whatever. Like, not easy. I don't want to take any value away from it, but just the simplicity of how it fell together.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be far better.
Well, it's hard to compete with fucking the driver bit. Like, it's a street car, basically. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So you can't argue with the drivability of AFI, man. Like, that's just what it is. If it was just a race car only, yeah, there probably wouldn't be as much point in it.
No.
But because he just wants to get in, turn the key and drive.
Yeah.
Might be something we look into later. Maybe.
That'd be
if we don't take on the Godzilla-powered XE project that he wants to do.
But you'll hear all about all that in a future podcast here on the Talk Hub YouTube channel or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Please, if you have made it this far, drop us a rating, drop a comment, or leave us a voicemail for the next one. If you'd like to support us, go to talkhub.com.au. You can pick yourself up some sweet merch. I'm not wearing any tonight, but you got a sweet hoodie on. And we have plenty of hoodies because winter is coming. Don't wait until the cold gets you. Get your order in now.
That'll do us.
Thanks for listening.
It was a good one. We will see you on the next one, and we'll probably see you on a video before this.
Yeah, yep.
If you watch our videos. If you don't, head over to YouTube, click on Talk Hub Media, give us a sub, you dogs, you know. What about it?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Watch us crack on with this VH SLX Iron Lion powered rear mount turbo, 6-speed manual. It's a cool car.
Yeah. Thanks for watching, guys.
Catch you on the next one.
We'll see ya.